Are you planning for your retirement with the confidence that you're making the right moves? Well, in today's episode, we'll unveil the crucial income planning mistakes that could potentially jeopardize your retirement and show you how to craft a financial plan that hopefully lasts you for decades, not just years. Tune in to ensure your retirement strategy is foolproof with Mike and I here on Strategic Planning with Mike Flanders.
Welcome to the Strategic Planning Podcast with financial coach Mike Flanders. With more than 40 years of experience in the financial services industry, Mike knows the X's and O's that'll help you achieve your financial goals. It's time for the Strategic Planning Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in once again as Mike and I talk investing, finance, and retirement. And income planning mistakes to not make is the topic of conversation this week. And we're super excited also to have Philip Corson joining us back here on the podcast. He's an estate planning attorney with Legacy Law Firm and a financial advisor as well. So always good to get some more opinions and voices here on the show. So looking forward to today's conversation with the guys. As always, if you've got questions and need some help, reach out to them at spcinvesting.com. That's spcinvesting.com or call Mike at 336-668-4338. Mike, my friend, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Well, good morning, Mark. We are excited because today we're going to actually be recording but we're going to be presenting a live webinar to folks that will be joining us right after we finish up with recording our podcast here. Yeah. So we're excited about that. We're going to talk about horse racing a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, you guys are busy today, so I won't keep you too long. We'll get into today. But Philip, thanks for joining us again, bud. Nice to have you back.
Absolutely, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
You guys are going to knock this out, and then you're going to jump into a live webinar. So you guys are just going to, then you're going to be ready for some lunch. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Or take a nap or something.
One of the two, right. Well, let's talk about some income planning mistakes, guys. We'll have a quick conversation on this week here on the show. And as I mentioned, you know, people want to obviously, you know, not make mistakes in retirement. So, and it's certainly income planning is highly, highly crucial. You got to have income. That's like the key thing. You know, people say cash is king. Well, you know, income strategy is certainly going to be king when you get into retirement. You no longer have that paycheck coming in. So, you know, as I mentioned in the teaser, you want to plan to be retired for decades, not just a few years, right? You don't want to kind of say, well, this should be last me, you know, 7-8 years. And then after that, I'll figure it out. That's not a good move. Right. And certainly you think about your parents, you know, my dad, he died at 63. So his retirement was super short lived. I think he was retired of about a year and a half before he passed away. And, you know, that's not ideal for how you want to plan, because what if you're wrong? Like, if he'd have planned that way and then lived another 20 years, he would have had himself some, you know, some serious shortfalls there. So how do we go about strategizing, Mike, to make sure that we are, you know, retired for decades?
Yeah. And quite frankly, you're right. It's funny. Some years ago, I can't remember exactly when this happened, but it was in the early 2000s, I believe. The life insurance companies decided to change the way they were calculating life expectancy. It used to be they calculated to about age 105 was the expected longest living term. They went up to 121 and changed all the life expectancy tables and so forth. And so they recognized from their research and what they were experiencing themselves that people are living longer. In fact, my father-in-law, He worked for the post office most of his career. He got out of the Army. I mean, not the Army, out of the Navy.
All right, Mike, is it your dad? Is it your father-in-law? Is he in the Army? What is it? What are you doing?
Where am I? Who am I? Wasn't that some vice presidential candidate said that one time? I don't know where I am, what I'm doing.
It had to be Dan Quayle. Had to be.
I think it was the guy who was debating Dan Quayle, actually. I can't remember his name. He's a general. But anyway, my father-in-law, who was in the Navy in World War II, went to work for the post office pretty soon after that, worked for 36 years with them, I believe, and retired at 57. And then he was retired until 94 when he died. So he was retired a couple of years longer than he actually worked.
Right.
And that is a long time to be retired. Now, he didn't just sit around in a rocking chair, but he, you know, he had a lot of activities and all that kept him busy.
Right.
But he also had made plans so that he could do that. He did some work to generate some additional income so they could do some other things they wanted to do. But it was more of the kind of work he wanted to do rather than what he had committed himself to and had done whether he liked it or not, he went in every day and did what he had to do to support his family and all that. But then when he had some other time, he did a few other things he enjoyed a little bit more. So
yeah, you got to strategize for the decades, not just the years. And maybe, Philip, let me bring you in on this next one here. Maybe part of that conversation, well, actually, a big part of that conversation could be the Social Security aspect, right? So turning it on too early, you know, you're costing yourself, you could potentially cost yourself some big dollars here. And you don't want to turn it on just because you feel like, hey, the government owes me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think regardless of whether you turn it on early or late, you need to do that with intention, mm-hmm, right? So, mm-hmm. So you're not just playing it by ear. And I also think that probably most people don't realize how much more you get if you do wait.
It can be big dollars, right?
It really can. I want to say it's something like an 8% increase per year.
Per year in the benefit amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, if you compare that to what people, the average investor receives on their investments, that's not a bad deal for just waiting an extra year or two.
And you're talking tens of thousands of dollars, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you really are. I mean, even hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
For sure. And it can be quite a bit on an annual basis, too. Yeah.
Well, Mike, you know, we've talked about this before when it comes to Social Security. Sometimes you can't look at it in a vacuum. You can't say, okay, I've worked, you know, even if you work 30 years, I've got this one 401k or whatever it is that you have. And maybe you have a pension, probably not. You know, you have some different little things here and there. Oh, and then Social Security. It's like, no, bring it in. It's got to be part of that whole complete strategy. It's not just an add-on. Because, again, if you don't plan on how to maximize this, how to maximize your Social Security, you could really be costing yourself. Not to mention the fact the taxation on how it's going to work when you're pulling income from different sources is going to affect your Social Security. So it's got to be part of the whole plan.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. And you're right. There are a lot of things that impinge on that as to what's the effective time to do so. I mean, yeah, you might start your Social Security at full retirement age, mm-hmm. but you didn't retire. And so you're still making an income. And maybe it would be worthwhile to delay it until 70 if you're continuing to work, because you're probably going to pay a ton of tax on it that you might not pay as much on when you do. But again, maybe you will, because it just depends on what the structure of your income is.
Well, so, yeah, and there's that break-even point, too. You just talked about, you know, maybe wait until 70. So you can run those numbers to find out, like, what age do you need to get to make this most effective decision?
That's right. And so, yeah, I think we'll probably talk about this a little bit later on. I'm not sure if you're going to talk about tax aspects. You mentioned it just briefly there. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
You know, you got the opportunity, if you don't turn it on too early, to maybe change some of the income that you're going to be having later on from taxable to tax-free by doing Roth conversions.
Right.
Not taking the Social Security, you're just going to create more tax by doing Roth conversions with Social Security. So, I mean, there are some things that you need to just kind of consider and balance. Mm-hmm. What does it take? It takes a little strategic planning.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, somebody said
the shameless plug there.
That's right, shameless plug. Somebody said to me years ago, Mike, which horse do you want to ride? Which one that brung you, right, so to speak, as the old saying goes. And so, are you riding the horse that you built, or are you riding the one that you and the government built, like the Social Security, right? So it's kind of figuring out which strategy is going to be the best one for you. Do you want to turn on your assets, or do you want to turn on the government assets? And I know it's technically our money. I'm not going to get into the semantic debate of that, but the point being is, it's got to be part of your overall strategy when it comes to Social Security, not just kind of this, oh yeah, and there's this other piece. What about bonds? Don't assume that bonds are going to be that main source. I guess I'm going to kind of view this a little bit, Mike, as for most of us, we tend to think, and we've heard forever and a day, that we shift to bonds as we get older because that's safer, or a target date fund that many of us probably have. You know, we've got like a 2040 fund or something like that, because that's when we're going to retire, or 2035 or whatever. They start to shift to more safe or more bonds as they move along. But that's kind of a misnomer anymore, especially since bonds have not done well the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, Philip? I mean, what are the purposes we use for our bonds in our portfolios?
Yeah, I think of bonds being there not so much as the income generator. Mm-hmm. I think of bonds being more so to control the volatility in the portfolio that's generating the money you need for retirement. So to the extent we can shift our mindset from, we call it income, but we have to be careful because of the way things are taxed. What we really want is, we want enough money in retirement to maintain our desired lifestyle. if we can get that from capital gains versus ordinary income, that can be helpful from a tax perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it ties back into that planning to be retired for decades. You really, that old way of thinking of shifting, well, I'm retired. Now I need to go to all bonds and be super conservative. You really can't afford to do that. Inflation is going to keep going up. The cost of living is going to keep rising.
True. Yeah.
But it is a great opportunity if you can build Social Security into that as well. It may mean you can stay more invested in the market for longer without having to count on bonds to provide your day-to-day income.
Gotcha. Yeah. Mike, so he touched on our buddy inflation. That was actually next on my list, right? So how many of us wind up going, we do the back of the napkin thing and we go, all right, you're sitting around with your loved one and you're like, all right, $5,000 a month is what it takes for us to live on. And we've got that covered with this, or this. Groovy. We're awesome. We can retire. Okay. Well, what are you going to do 10 years into retirement? Because the $5,000 don't go as far as it used to 10 years later. And we certainly have woken up, obviously, to inflation these last couple of years. But you gotta have a strategy for this, man. You got to start be working with an advisor and a professional on how to outpace inflation because, as I said, it's been a real animal these last couple of years.
Yeah, it has. And, there's a famous radio personality who likes to say that you can live off of 8, 10, 12% income in retirement and, that your portfolio will produce that kind of thing. And
what?
I know. It's crazy. But I love this person, though, because he's very good on debt management or eliminating debt and doing all this kind of things.
Yeah.
But he's right on there, but he missed the boat when it came out to investment smarts. but I still love him because he's helped me help a lot of people.
And sure, absolutely.
That thing. But you can't, if you want to take into consideration the fact that things are going to cost more later on, you can't live off all your money right now.
Yeah.
All that it generates. And it's not going to generate a steady 12%.
No.
It's not going to average that. It's not going to average 10 probably. But, it's the point is you want to leave some of what you earn in the account so that you can increase the amount of income you have. A simple example, you got $100,000 and you're making 8% on it. So that's $8,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
If you lived off of $4,000 of that and left $4,000 in, at the end of the year, you still have your $104,000 plus whatever growth, but let's just keep this simple for me.
Right.
$104,000. So now I can take, if I'm going to draw 4% on my money, I can now take not just $4,000 off of it, but $4,600 off of it, or whatever the math is on $104,000 and 4%.
And that's helping you with inflation.
That's right, because my cost of living went up some this year, and so I can increase my income to help offset it. And of course, if inflation's low or it's not really affecting me because of the things I buy, maybe I don't have to, and I can let my account build more. It gives me more flexibility longer term. But if I'm spending all the income that it's generating, I'm probably going to be spending some of the principal later too, quite frankly, if I get used to that kind of thing. And it's going to hurt me in the long run as far as being able to keep pace with the cost of living that is going to increase.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right there, Mike. And, if you think about, I saw this is a story years ago, but this guy had been storing cash in the back of his old television set. You know, the big console TV that weighed 500 pounds, right, that sat on the floor. And it was, didn't work anymore. He had his other TV sitting. He was basically the old TV was acting like a TV stand for the new TV, right?
Yeah,
and,
right.
and so the back of it, he had hollowed it out, and that was his safe. And he had $100,000 in there. Got older and forgot, and they donated the television set. People came and took it away, right, to kind of throw stuff away. And he forgot it was in there. Now, luckily, the story had a nice ending because the people that took it realized what was in it. They gave it back. They gave him his money back, which is great because you don't see that often, right? Especially finding $100,000 in the back of a TV set. But anyway, so he got the money back and he said, well, I guess I should go spend this since it's been sitting there for so long. And then his comment was, although I guess $100,000 don't go as far as it used to.
No,
right? Sure. And that was kind of an interesting moment from a gentleman who had just totally kind of forgotten about this money. And I thought, and then he kind of woke up to his own fact of, hey, you know, inflation's a real deal and it's not going to buy as much as it used to. So you got to plan for inflation. And I don't want to take this, you know, too long today, but, you know, we have to have other lifetime income streams other than just Social Security, right? That's kind of, I mean, it is an annuity, technically. I mean, I think it even says annuity on the check, doesn't it, on the Social Security check?
Yeah, Social Security check.
So people kind of get kind of wigged out about the annuity, the A word, Mike, and they think, well, how else do I create lifetime income streams? But you have to do that. It could be an option. It may be something worth discussing. But either way, you've got to talk and think about having multiple streams of income.
That's right. And that's, again, where what we were just talking about, right, Philip, about as far as having the equities that will produce that capital gain income that then can be used to live on.
Absolutely. And again, I think the tendency for people is they hear that multiple streams of income and they think they need some income producing vehicle like bonds. And then they end up hurting themselves just by the way they're thinking about it. But the point is, you don't really want to take a pay cut when you're in retirement, and you don't really want to put all your eggs in the government's basket and hope that that's going to be enough to get by on. So you need some money that is coming in that you've planned for and that you have control over, that it's set up in advance in anticipation of those decades of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to throw off the money that you need, or you can withdraw the money that you need as you go to supplement Social Security. It would be wonderful if Social Security was your extra money.
Yeah. Yeah. The gravy.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's a good point. Having that as the gravy, and everybody loves gravy. So nothing wrong with that. Mike, give me the last one. Let's talk about taxes real quick and we'll get up out of here. Do not disregard them. You touched on it a little bit, but just taxes in general. Now you say we're talking about income planning. Well, what does that got to do with taxes? Because that's going out the other way. Well, the more efficient you are with your taxes, hopefully the more you're going to keep. Old saying, right? It's not what you make, it's what you keep.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So you want to just plan to know what the impact is on different sources of income and structure it in such a way that it will help you. I mean, right now there are so many different things out there that impact this. From, you know, people, if they're in the marketplace for their health insurance, they have to have a certain amount of income, but not too much income. They want to try and balance that against having their Social Security taxed or not taxed. I'm talking about people in retirement and, then having to take required minimum distributions. There's all kind of stuff that is just coming into the equation that makes it very complex. And so, you want to realize that and say, okay, let me get some help putting this together so I understand when to pull the trigger on this particular kind of move to help me long term and when to not, be taking Social Security or be taking Social Security or what have you. And it's different for everybody. I have people that I've had turn on Social Security as soon as they could because there was a big advantage for them. People that had disability situations that it made sense to do that. There's all kinds of reasons to do one thing that is not right for another person. So you just need to get some help with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good points. All right. Any final thoughts before we go, guys? Philip, anything on taxes or anything else I might have missed?
Yeah, well, I would say the one thing on taxes that comes to mind, especially for younger folks, is, take advantage of Roth retirement accounts. A lot of employers these days are offering Roth 401ks. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you can set up your own Roth IRA. But the tax-free growth forever is nice. And the sooner you can start moving in that direction, I think the better.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for hanging out and joining us here as we talk about investing, finance, and retirement and income planning mistakes with the team from Strategic Planning. We got Mike Flanders, as always, here. And Philip Corson joined us this week as well, financial advisor and estate planning attorney with Legacy Law Firm. We'll have to have Philip back on and probably talk about estate planning. That might make a lot of sense, actually, since that's what he does. So if you guys got some questions, need some help, reach out to him again at spcinvesting.com. That's spcinvesting.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or YouTube platforms since they've merged everything. I think Google Podcast is now gone. And you can find it all on the Google, if you will. So just type in Strategic Planning into the search box of any of those apps you like to use, or go to Mike's website at spcinvesting.com. Guys, thanks for hanging out. I always appreciate your time. For Philip and Mike, I'm your host, Mark Killian. We'll see you next time here on Strategic Planning.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.